This is Rochester Speaks, and Paul Anthony joins me today, the president and founder of Rock Dog here in Rochester. And I'm excited to dive into talking a little bit about community working dogs and how they help all sorts of people around our community. Paul, great to have you on. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
So let's talk about Rock Dog, which I know just celebrated a big anniversary too, according to your website. What are community working dogs and what do you do at Rock Dog to connect them with the public?
So community working dogs is really a term that we kind of coined. It really is four groups of dogs: emotional support dogs. People hear about that all the time. Dogs that are in homes. So people that have like anxiety or PTSD, just to help them. No real training required, although we think some training's worthwhile. Then the second group is therapy dogs, and those are dogs that have been trained to be out in public helping other people. So the definition would say a therapy dog doesn't help the owner, which that's not true, we know, but their job is to help other people, and you can pet them, and that's the touch is the big part. The third group becomes a psychiatric service dog. So this would be a dog who's been trained for somebody with high anxiety or PTSD, and the dog is trained to be a comfort to them, and they're a service dog, so they're covered by American Disability Act. And that way, when you see them in public, typically they'll have a vest on and says, "Don't pet." You don't want other people. So a service dog, whether it's psychiatric or one for like diabetes or vision impairment or hearing impairment or epilepsy, they're actually working for a physical to help with a physical issue. They're going to tell if your sugar is high or low. And so in public, they're always working. So that's why true service dogs, people don't want you to pet their service dog because they're focused on their owner. So that's where that definition towards an owner for a service dog, therapy dog is for other people.
Got
so
it.
those are the those are the four areas.
Wow. So there you've grown into a lot, right? But you started off as something smaller and something kind of niche, right? How did you start at Rock Dog and what has it turned into beyond your expectations?
Well, we started, so I went to a funeral for a firefighter and saw a therapy dog, gosh, 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, and was just intrigued with how people interacted in a crisis situation, you know, a situation that's not very happy. You're in a funeral home. And I just saw these dogs work magic, and I decided I wanted to do it. I looked for a breeder. I did research. I found a puppy. I bought a dog. I started training. Typically, a therapy dog has to pass a test and become part of a group. The key for therapy dogs is if you're in the community wants you to visit, but everybody's worried about a dog bite. So a typical therapy dog groups like is a nonprofit. And you've got to have general liability insurance in case the dog bites somebody. So that's the key. We got all the way through our training and the pandemic happened. And the group we would have joined basically said, we're shut down till it's normal. And I don't know about you, but in January of 2021, we knew normal wasn't coming back anytime soon. And I literally created it, sat up in the middle of the night on February 14th. I remember this. At 3 in the morning and said, I'll make my own group. Got up, got dressed, went to my computer and started building a business plan. So the goal was, the business plan said, have 3 dogs the first year, grow to 12 dogs. I could retire. I could go make a couple visits. Life would be good. And we had no plan beyond that. So that was the beginning. We were only thinking a few dogs and just make a few visits.
And then it turned into something a little different than that, right? Because now you're an organization servicing the whole area. So what did it turn into?
Well, it turned into, well, the first off, our 3 dogs, the goal of 2021, we ended the year with 72 dogs. So 24 times bigger than we thought. The second year, we ended with 120 dogs. We thought 12, so 10 times bigger. So the growth is slowing down a little bit, but still moving pretty fast.
Yeah.
We ended 2024 with 291 dogs.
Wow.
And that equates into about 330 handlers, because sometimes you have families where you have a husband and a wife and even possibly kids that are all handling the same dog. So we have more handlers than we do dogs. So again, we've gone that way. And also in the fall, we've found people from farther and farther. We're very unique in the way we do things, very proactive with our handlers. And we found people in Buffalo and actually in the Hudson Valley that reached out to us saying, how can we be part of your group? So we've moved from original plan was I'm in Rochester, then we're in Monroe County, then all of a sudden we're in Wayne County, Livingston County, we're down in Batavia, and now to the point that we have dogs now in Buffalo. We're down in Dansville, you name it, we've got trainers. I started with one trainer. We now have 15 trainers to do classes for us. So we're in the Hudson Valley. We're, like I said, around here. We're in Buffalo. So the Southern Tier, we're growing that direction. We've got a new trainer that we think in the next week or two will come online in Syracuse. So we're going to be across the state before you know it.
So, how specialized is the training, and what kind of training do these dogs have to go through?
Dogs basically have to pass the test for us. So training, we're an authorized or recognized rather therapy dog group by AKC. So what we do is most of our trainers do a combination class, canine good citizen, which is very typical now. A lot of times people with homeowners insurance will want your dog to have some training so they know not just a knucklehead. So that's typically canine good citizen is a 6 week class. And we have trainers that then wrap therapy dog into it. So, and then turn it into an 8 week program. So the key is we're in hospitals. We want their dog to know you can't pick things off the floor and eat them. Big skill. So leave it as a big command. We want them to make sure they can work around wheelchairs and walkers and that kind of equipment, be good in a group. So it's really just you're really looking for good behavior. So it's like if your dog becomes a therapy dog, after that 8 weeks, you take a test. If you pass the test, then you join a group, whether it's a local group like Rock Dog or a national group. You use that group then to give you that insurance so then you can go make visits.
Dogs are truly remarkable creatures. I mean, beyond just their ability to provide endless happiness and snuggles and just love and attention, they're also just remarkably intelligent creatures. I mean, I've just heard recently about a new research that's being done, how dogs are now being used to sniff out certain types of cancer. They're being used to sniff out COVID, just all these things that humans and even some of our technology doesn't have the ability to do. So how, from your knowledge of dogs, which I know must be somewhat extensive, right? How can we explain just the incredible features that these animals have and how we can leverage this to make the most of them as humans?
Well, that's where dogs are amazing companions for people. I think it goes back to the cave days, right? In the caveman days, right, dogs were around. And guess what? There was a relationship between canines and humans, right? What did the dog offer? Well, the dog offered, well, if something comes in the cave at night, I'm going to bark. So he was an alarm system. And what did the dog get? Well, he got that bone to chew on after dinner. So there was a symbiotic relationship, I think, with humans forever. And we find that most any dog, so we have a 4.5 pound toy poodle in our group. And we have 195 pound English Mastiff. So
Wow.
almost any dog can do it. And it's on the job training. That 8 weeks doesn't sound like very long, but then as you start to make visits, dogs start to realize we do a lot of memory care. So senior citizens with Alzheimer's or dementia, and dogs have an amazing connection there. But and also then as we started working with lots of special need families that had kids that were autistic. And we found that dogs have this magic of being able to sense something that's wrong and want to comfort. And so one of the other things we've grown into is we actually rescue dogs to help special need families. But I think dogs are just meant to be companions for us and support us, right? So that dog at night, you're watching TV, he just wants to snuggle in your lap. That's what a therapy dog is, right? But now we're out in the community helping all kinds of different people.
And you use dogs to do that. So what kinds of you mentioned some of the training that the dogs go through, but what kinds of other requirements are there for your dogs, besides just being dogs?
Well, people all the time ask if my dog could do it because they'll say my dog's very jumpy or very active, and it's really training. If the dog is truly aggressive or a bite risk, we say maybe this isn't the right thing. But beyond that, the dog training actually is pretty simple for the dog most of the time. The hard part of dog training is getting the owners to be consistent. So if we get family members, two different family members training the same dog, if they're using different words for the same command, dogs get very confused. So trainers always joke. The hard part of training is teaching people. Dogs get it, but then we send dogs, we encourage our new handlers to go lots of places in their first 6 months so they get to see. This morning, I was with a brand new handler on a visit at Strong Recovery on West Henrietta. So we spent an hour in the lobby seeing patients and visiting with staff. So just hanging out. So that environment, when we go to a library, not all dogs like libraries. Some dogs don't like senior homes. Sometimes when we look at a senior home, there's a little bit of a smell. It's a little different. Some dogs don't like a library. Some dogs aren't really keen with little kids, right? You maybe have a dog who's been in a home with a little kid and he gets tired of having his ears pulled on. And so so we work really hard in that first 6 months to let handlers explore lots of different opportunities and find out where the dog likes and the handler. So the goal is finding a place where they both want to work together.
And how else do you find these handlers who can most benefit from these dogs for all four of those categories?
Well, handlers, from a handler standpoint, everybody that comes to Rock Dog, basically these are dogs that we have now. So everybody that's listening that has a dog, chances are your dog could be a therapy dog. Again, just got to go to training. So that's, like I said, we've gone from one trainer now to having 15 trainers covering a better part of the state. So pretty easy from that standpoint, because it's just a matter of getting a hold of a trainer, see when they have a class, go through the process, take the test. So from a handler side for our dogs, that's a pretty easy statement.
That's such a positive to this community. I mean, the needs that can help serve. Talk about some of the, maybe a story or two, if you can, of some of those needs that you've seen in the community and how that your dogs have made such an impactful difference in people's lives.
Sure. We have, the easy way to start is we call it Paws for Hearts. This is our project. When we started Rock Dog, in our first few months, we started making those visits with autistic kids and adults. And we found these, they were like, oh, I need a dog. Or they said, we've been to the doctor and they say we need a service dog. Well, service dogs typically cost $50,000 or $60,000 and you've got to wait a couple years to get. And we realized that our dogs did about 90%. And so if we're like, we're already teaching these dogs. If we train these dogs and then place them with special need families, we can do it cheap. So we get people, we're a nonprofit, so people can make donations to us. But we rescue a dog and we train a dog and place a dog. So in the last 3 years, we've rescued 35 dogs and placed them. I have a little white 35-pound golden doodle. Her name is Freya, and she lives with a family that has six kids. And Jeremiah is who she was brought into the home for. Jeremiah has lots of physical disabilities and things going on. And they got Freya specifically to help him when he gets in the mode of just can't cope, right? Life becomes too traumatic. And we brought them together. So we not only rescued Freya from a home, we trained Freya, we put Freya in the home, and then we do training with Jeremiah and Freya. Now, Jeremiah is 12 years old. Now, we said it's an 8-week class. Well, guess what? It took us about 20 weeks for Jeremiah because we had to do a down stay for 30 seconds. Jeremiah couldn't count to 30 when we started.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So by week 26, guess what? Jeremiah's doing the test. He sits Freya down and he counts to 30.
Wow.
But Jeremiah's 12 years old, special needs young man. He is a dog handler with Rock Dog. So he has been approved. Now, he's not going to go out on visits by himself, but his mom's going to go along. But he's the handler. He goes, we do lots of practice now, and we're actually, he's a therapy dog, but Frey is also being trained ultimately to be a service dog for him, to go with him out in the public. So that's more training. So we will probably spend more than a year training Jeremiah and Freya and his mom how to go do those things. So being able to connect with special need families, and we don't give dogs away for free. Everybody has to pay something, because we think if you get it for free, you're not going to care too much about it. You might not. But their fee for us is just a fraction of what it would cost if you're going somewhere else. And there are really very few resources for those kind of dogs in New York. Typical people looking for service dogs are going to Ohio or Texas. And again,
Wow.
waiting 2 years and spending thousands of dollars.
So it's such important work that you're doing, and everybody likes dog. And everybody wants to help out in this kind of cause, I can imagine, because there's so much benefit to the dog, especially in a rescue situation like you just mentioned, and so much benefit to the people too that the dogs are working alongside. So you mentioned donations. Are there any other ways too that we can help out Rock Dog?
Oh, well, we get people that do events in their business, and they'll just decide they're gonna do something. We were at Wegmans. Wegmans corporate wanted a visit from us, and they did a thing inside for staff. And I showed up with the van, and they loaded 20 Wegman bags in my van full of dog toys and treats and those kinds of things. So
Wow.
we're always looking for those things. But we do lots of visits. We do actually a lot of corporate visits. So we're in a lot of facilities where we go into businesses and deal with staff, right? Just kind of a wellness kind of visit. But again, a lot of things, those are going on. A lot of other places in the community will want to just partner with us. They'll have an event and ask us if dogs can come, and they share it that way. So we try not to be a nonprofit that spends all the time raising money. Our goal is to be out, but it's so rewarding, and you've already touched on it in so many different ways, even for us. I've been involved with nonprofits my entire life, but this is a unique way of taking a dog that's your dog at home and going out and helping other people. Senior homes, a lot of times we visit little ladies and they've got no family at all. They're in a room, they can't get around, they are very lonely, they are very sad. And dogs come in, and just, I can put a little dog, Jesse, my little Shih Tzu mix, put him in somebody's lap and he's licking their face. And the world's all of a sudden is good. It's
Yeah.
just for that moment in time, right? And we know touching a dog, chemical change in your brain, right? Your endorphins are up, that feel good hormone. So it's great, but it's not like we can't do therapy visits. In the pandemic, some of the groups said, oh, we're going to do them on the Zoom. We're going to do a Zoom therapy visit. Well, if I had my dog, well, my dog's sleeping on the floor now. If we had him in looking at my dog on the screen, isn't the same as touching my dog.
No.
And so that's when we said, you know, we people in the pandemic, we don't need to wait 2 years to do dogs. People are hurting now. And so the pandemic for us, I hate to say it was a good thing, but there was a huge opportunity that nobody even wanted to think about. So I think because we thought outside the box, and we go, most therapy groups do, like a library or a school or a hospital, where we're doing all of those things. So we do right now over 300 visits in the community a month around Rochester.
Wow. It's almost one every day. And
yeah. Well, there's probably 10 to 15 a day. So it depends. So I actually I head it up. So I'm the janitor. I'm in charge of lots of things. I do about 100 visits a month, which I love to go. Right, it'd be easy to just sit in an office, but I go make visits. And I have 5 therapy dogs, because my dogs, two hours, if we go on 2 visits, they're wasted, right? So
really?
If we go in the morning, I use one dog. If I'm going back in the afternoon, another puppy goes with me. Plus, dogs have places they like. So I have my little Jesse. He's great with little old ladies, but he does not like kids. So he was a rescue. And so there was a home he was in that probably didn't take care of him very well. And the kids probably abused him. So he is very finicky. So we learn to take our dogs places that they like, because when the dogs like it, then it makes the visit fun for everybody.
Right.
You get a dog show up and they're scared to death and in the corner shaking and shivering. Nobody's happy.
Right. Right. Especially that dog. And it's so important to take care of those dogs.
Right.
And
a dog
amazing.
Like that, that's the dog, a dog that's been put in a place where he's not happy and comfortable, sooner or later will react. And that's when somebody gets nipped, something happens. So we're very proactive about being on tune on what's going on. Like I said, if the dog's not having a good day, handlers know it's okay to just say, I can't continue. We need to go home because our first responsibility is protecting our dogs.
Got it. Yes, rockdog.org. That's rocdog.org slash donation if you want to donate. I know there's a donate button there on the
Yep,
homepage
there
too,
certainly
right?
is. There certainly
And
is.
also, this is kind of cool. You also are accepting Venmo donations, right? Through
We
Rock
do.
Dog Therapy.
Yep.
Just search Rock Dog Therapy and Venmo to donate as well. And
Venmo
those,
works. Venmo
yeah.
works.
And those donations, where can we expect our money there being put to work?
Well, for the most part, it's going to probably half of the funds we do. Like I said, our goal this last year, 2024, our goal was 14 dogs to rescue and place. We actually did 15, but we think we spend about $5,000 a dog by the time we rescue them, do the vet work, get them fixed, get them trained, get them in the home. So that's a lot big expense. And again, a family may spend 500 bucks, but we're spending 5,000. So
Yeah.
most all of our probably more than half of the money that we bring in goes specifically back to us rescuing dogs. And then some people will joke and say, well, you're a nonprofit, you don't need money. And I say, well, three tanks of gas a week adds up.
Yeah.
So those are the things. There's definitely some operating expenses. We use some software that's very sophisticated to help us do those 300 visits a month. Just trying to juggle places and people and dogs is a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I'm sure. So again, that those donations go a long way to help dogs and help people. Those working
Absolutely.
dogs help people immensely. Rockdog.org, ROCdog.org. Paul Anthony is the founder and the president over there at Rock Dog. Thanks so much for your time, Paul, and thanks for what you do to help dogs and people.
Hey, thank you. It was a pleasure.